Thank you so much, Emiko, and welcome everyone. So glad you're here. So glad that you could join us this evening. If you haven't already had the chance to name yourself with your pronouns, and if you want to add in the native land that you're on, you're invited to do that. I use she, her pronouns. And I'm currently living on Sacla Miwok land in Moraga, California, just on the other side of the Oakland Hills. I'm really honored to be here with you tonight. And just for a moment, I just want you to pause and land a little bit. So take in the space that you're in, the room that you're in right now, the things that are around you, in front of you, beside you. Just taking in the temperature of the room, the light. Noticing too the shared space that we're in, right? This virtual space that we're together. Like the amazing complicatedness of being able to participate with each other in Sangha via this transfer of light and energy through air and space. And everybody arriving from different experiences. And just take a moment to acknowledge what you're bringing here. Whatever you're holding in your life today, whatever you're holding in your heart. I invite you to notice that you have a body. And notice how the practice and the talk and the discussion all land in your body. I want to invite you to get yourself whatever you need to be really comfortable here. So, if you want to get blankets or pillows, feel free to sit up or lay down. Feel free to be in whatever position's comfortable for you. Feel free to change it moment to moment, depending on what's needed. And honor whatever access needs you might have. I know Emiko already mentioned that you can, private message her at any time about access needs you have. And tonight, I just want us to practice being really gentle with whatever's arising in the midst of the space that we're creating here together, the space that you're creating within yourself as well. It's this practice that I really encourage of inviting in this compassionate inner environment. Where you can hold and meet whatever's arising internally and whatever's arising externally. And so, first in our practice, I'll invite you to focus on the sensations of the breath and the body, which is our first foundation of mindfulness. And then, as your thoughts arise, to meet them with a lot of friendliness, a lot of gentleness, as you invite yourself back to the breath. And just remembering, you can always start over, right? You can always start over from wherever you are. So go ahead and find yourself a relatively comfortable position to practice in. Sitting, lying down, you're feeling really restless, maybe you want to stand. But wherever is comfortable for your body, go ahead and let yourself settle in. You can close your eyes if that's comfortable. On your inhale, let your chest lift, let your shoulders lift. Let your inner body get full and open and long. And on your exhale, let yourself rest through wherever your body is touching the earth. On your next inhale, invite in length all the way from the hips up through the whole length of the spine, to the shoulders, to the crown of the head. And keeping that length on your exhale, root back down. Extend back down through your legs, your sitting bones, your back, wherever your body is touching and supported by this solid, earth quality. And notice your breath. Notice how your inhale lifts and fills your inner body. And how your exhale lets your inner body soften and release. How your inhale lifts and fills the chest and the belly. And how the exhale let's the chest and belly relax. And maybe your breath is clearest in the chest and belly, or maybe you can notice your breath more easily through the back of the throat, through the nostrils, or along the upper lip. Wherever you notice the sensations of the breath most clearly, let that be your anchor. Let that be the point you return to. These sensations of the breath moving in and out of the body are always in the present moment. So no matter how far away your thoughts may have carried you, just by that simple turning of the awareness back to the movement of the breath in the body, you arrive once again in the present moment. Without needing to adjust or move them, notice where your feet are resting. Notice how they feel. Inside socks or shoes or bare or under a blanket. If they're warm or cool. If they're relaxed or tight. Notice where your hands are resting, again, without having to adjust them. Notice the temperature of the air against your skin. Notice that feeling of readiness in your hands, even when they're at rest. See if you can feel their aliveness from the inside. And know too that these sensations in the body, in the hands and the feet are always right here in the present moment. And again, by returning your attention to them, you can once again land in this moment. And know that thoughts will arise and move through. And they're not a problem. See if you can be gentle, even affectionate towards the thoughts that arise. Notice the stories. Notice the stickiness of some thoughts, fantasies, or memories. And anytime you bring your awareness to them, it's that opportunity to start again, to gently accompany yourself back to the breath. See if you can meet whatever's arising with so much gentleness, so much friendliness. And invite yourself back to the present moment. Notice what's here. And see if you can be so gentle towards whatever's arising. You're training yourself to meet thoughts and sensations, feelings. With a sense of spaciousness, this is what it is to be this corner of the universe that goes by my name. To just notice Acknowledge, bow to whatever's arising, sounds, sensations. And then lovingly invite yourself to return to the present moment, to arrive once again here with your attention and the sensations of the breath moving in and out of this alive body. Ajahn Chah invites us in our practice to be the still forest pool, welcoming all the magical creatures. Can you be that still forest pool, welcoming the thoughts, the sensations, the sounds, the feelings, some pleasant, some unpleasant, without judging them, but resting once again from the welcoming, resting back into the stillness. Resting back into the breath. Notice your breath. And as you breathe here, notice if there's some part of your body that feels warm and easeful and relaxed. Breathe into that space. Maybe it's the belly or the chest. Maybe some other part of the body. But breathe that warmth and ease in towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it expand out. Let it include more of your body. Let it reach down through the legs, to the feet, through the torso and the shoulders, the arms and hands. Let it reach all the way up to the neck and head. Each inhale, draw in the sense of warmth and ease towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out all the way down to the toes, the tips of the toes, through the hands to the tips of the fingers, all the way up to the crown of the head. Let it extend to every cell, every muscle, every bone. Inhale in, draw in that warmth and ease towards yourself. And on your exhale, now let it extend out beyond your body. Into the room, the home, the building you're in. Let it extend out to every being that you share space with. Each inhale, draw in that warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it spill out through the windows and doors onto the streets and sidewalks, to the homes and businesses, the hills and valleys, the streets and roads. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out in all directions to the forests and the trees, to the rivers and the water, to all of the two-legged, four-legged, six-legged, many-legged, no-legged, all the variations of legs. The winged ones and the finned ones. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend out that warmth and ease and friendliness in all directions. Let it reach out across the continent and the coastline, across the oceans to cover the whole planet. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend out that warmth and ease and friendliness in all directions, to the whole globe, to the whole solar system, infinitely in front of you and behind you, above you and below you, to the left and the right of you. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out in all directions, to the solar system and the galaxy and the galaxies beyond our galaxy. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out in all directions infinitely throughout space and time, to the universe and the universe beyond our universe. To all realms, known and unknown, remembered and forgotten. Each inhale, take in that warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out. Let it radiate out in all directions to all beings everywhere. Go ahead and stretch and move a little bit. Notice. See if you can feel into just what gentle movement might feel good in your body right now. Maybe, yeah, rolling your head or shoulders, stretching a little bit, maybe rolling your legs in and out. And feel free, if you'd like, to share in the chat how you're feeling at this moment, maybe how the meditation landed for you, or maybe something that you're holding right now that you'd like to bring into the space. Really welcome to have you bring your voice in to the chat if you feel so inclined. Yeah, from Blake. Really love the ending where we started spreading our warmth out the entire world, universe, solar system. Enjoyed the visuals of that and also the feeling of it. Yeah, I'm so glad. Gonna wait another moment for any other shares if they come in. Just wanna really again welcome everyone tonight. I know some folks came on during the practice. And just wanna it's really nice to bring us together in the shared space around, what we're all holding together in the world. Just to let you know, I don't know how much you track this yourself, but I love to track the moon cycles. And we're in the waning crescent phase of the moon today. We're just a little bit away from the new moon. We're just a week away from the summer solstice, right? Can you believe it's already coming to the summer solstice, right? The longest day of the year coming right up. And here in Northern California, it's especially been hard to believe that we're deep into June now. We've had just such a long, extended, cool spring with lots of fog and clouds. It's also Juneteenth week, right? Celebrating the long-delayed announcement of the end of slavery back just only about 160 years ago. It's also Pride Month. Yay! And this year, right, it's especially important, I think. Every year it's important, but this year, especially given all of the political attacks on trans folks and on drag queens. And it's really good for us to remember that Pride started out as protest marches, and that our communities today, right, in many places are still not fully accepted into society. Both in here in the United States and in the world, and that an attack on one segment of our community and on their rights is an attack on all of us. So to just really remember that and hold that. And so our talk tonight is really about remembering the truth of who we are, remembering our true nature. Even in the midst of everything that's going on for us personally, everything that's going on for us in the world, everything that's going on for us in our communities, and how remembering the truth of who we are can actually help us meet the challenges as they're arising, both within ourselves and in the world. And some of you might know I'm both a a meditation teacher, and I'm a longtime yoga instructor here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I once had a yoga teacher who used to say, he said, there are two reasons to practice yoga. He said, the first reason is to celebrate your aliveness. He said, the second reason is to remember the first reason if you happen to have forgotten it. Right? And I love that. I love that. And I think that it applies to pride as well. You know, pride as an opportunity to celebrate our aliveness, our survival, right? Our communities in a world that often doesn't wholly value us. It's an opportunity to remember not to take the rights that we've had to fight for granted. To remember to keep working together to make the world better for all the future fabulous queers and queens and queer spawn. Right? Celebrate your aliveness. Remembering our interconnectedness. Right? And these are really good reasons to practice. And in Buddhism, we're really called to also remember our goodness, remember our worthiness. We sometimes call it remembering your Buddha nature. It's sometimes called bodhicitta. And there's a beautiful quote from Jack Kornfield. He's talking about this phrase. He says, a number of the Buddhist texts, like the Tibetan Book of the Dead, he says, a number of the Buddhist texts begin with this phrase, O nobly born, O you who are the children of the awakened ones, the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, do not forget who you really are. Do not forget your true nature. And the quote goes on, he says, they begin with this beautiful expression of respect to you, that you were born with a basic goodness and a heart of compassion that is born into every child. You were born with the capacity to awaken and live in a wise and caring way in the world. Do not ever forget who you are. And I love this. I love this. I love this as a concept. I love this as an idea. But the truth is, we do forget. And not only do we forget, but we're made to forget. We're conditioned to forget. And we're told to forget. There's so much pressure to forget. It's interesting. It's said sometimes that there's only one real mistake. There's only one mistake, and it's that mistake that leads to every other mistake. And the one mistake that we can make is believing that our separation is more real than our connection. Right? Forgetting that our connection to one another, that all of those invisible threads that deeply connect us, forgetting that those connections are more real than the apparent separation. Because it's that forgetting that leads to more separation, right? That's the belief that we can harm another without harming ourselves, right? The belief that we can ignore someone else's pain or suffering without insulating ourselves to both grief and joy, right? Numbing ourselves to our own aliveness. The belief that somehow putting someone else down elevates us instead of degrading us. And it's all a part of our forgetting that our true nature is deeply interconnected and loving. And our job here is remembering, right? And remembering is another way of translating the Pali word for mindfulness, which is sati, right? We can also translate it as remembering, right? Remember who you truly are. O nobly born, O children of the awakened ones, remember who you truly are. And let yourself feel this phrase. Let yourself try it on. Right? Invite in the possibility of embodying it. See if you can feel the dignity of it. There's a sense for me when I put on this phrase, when I try it on, there's a sense of integrity and wholeness. Right? Oh, nobly born, remember who you truly are. And I love, one of the things that I really deeply love about Buddhism is that there's no original sin. There's no cloak of sin that we are born wearing thanks to Eve eating the apple of knowledge. You're not wrong. You're not flawed. You're not a mistake. You're not a problem. Right? I think of the beautiful and outrageous and courageous drag queens of our community, right? Their dignity and their nobility. Right, their willingness to claim queenship, right, to embody it, and then to use it to ridicule and challenge the status quo of gender conformity. Right, and the truth is, we are all born to this nobility, but we forget it. Right, how can we remember it? And this is what the practice is for. The practice is here to help us remember. A story. So many years ago, there was a group of Thai monks living on this ancient land, and they needed to relocate this brightly painted clay Buddha from its ancient site to this new location at the temple. And the day that they were trying to move it, it was raining, and in the process of lifting the Buddha statue, it started to crack, and they were like, oh no, like, whoa, what's happening? And so they stopped what they were doing. They covered it with the tarp, and they were like, okay, we'll get some experts in. We'll deal with it tomorrow. And later that night, the head monk went out to check on the statue just to make sure it was okay, make sure it was still covered and safe. And he took a flashlight. He shined it underneath the tarp, and something like glinted back at him. And he was like, what is that? And so the next day, they removed the tarp, and they examined the statue really carefully. And they realize something really amazing. It turns out that this brightly painted clay Buddha concealed inside of it a solid gold Buddha statue that had been disguised centuries before to prevent it from being stolen during a war. And then it had been forgotten. And that golden Buddha hidden underneath all those layers of clay and paint, it's such a good metaphor for our own Buddha nature, which can be hidden, right, under all the masks, all the conditioning, all the ways we disguise and protect ourselves. But your true nature has been there all along. Right, shining brightly inside you, just waiting for you to remember it, waiting for you to reconnect to it, waiting to crack open and reveal itself in all of its beauty and goodness. What's the clay that keeps you from remembering who you truly are? All the forgetting, all the habits, all the things we've been taught and learned about ourselves and life, all the ways we've been hurt and disappointed, all of the ways we forget our worthiness, all the ways we're taught to believe in our unworthiness, all the self-criticism, all the judgment, all the heartbreak, all the harm right, that builds up until we forget who we truly are. And our practice helps us crack ourselves open again, helps us feel again, helps us see ourselves clearly, helps us recognize our true nature. O nobly born, remember who you truly are. Go ahead for a moment, place your hands over your heart, if that's comfortable for you. And feel the energy of your heart. Your heart, your breath, your pulse. Feel this energy of life moving through you. Everything you've carried, everything you've survived, everything you love, everything that keeps you going. You can trust this heart. Your true nature is right here. And it's been here all along, accompanying you through everything. You have never been alone. And just feel that, just take that in. Take a big deep breath in here. And exhale, sigh it out. As you feel ready, you can release your hands or keep them there if it's comforting. And this is one of the many paradoxes of our practice, that we are inherently good and worthy, and yet we don't always feel that way. Maybe we never feel that way. And there's another paradox, it's a corollary to this one that I struggle with sometimes. And it's one that Lara Yang points to. He talks about the subtle self-aggression of self-improvement, right? The subtle self-aggression of self-improvement, right? Because we're told to love and accept ourselves the way we are, and not strive so much. Suzuki Roshi is quoted as saying, "You are perfect just the way you are, and you could use a little improvement." Right? And it's funny too, because I know for myself that part of me, part of who I am, right, a deep part of my personality that I struggle with sometimes, is all about striving to be a better person. And so don't I need to love and accept that striving to improve is part of myself too? Right? It gets complicated. And I can tell you that if there's one big teaching in Buddhism and maybe in spiritual practice as a whole, it's to know yourself. To know yourself fully as this complex human being with all your brilliance and all your flaws, all your quirks and qualities, all your idiosyncrasies and paradoxes. Know yourself as not separate from the world, not separate from the whole. You can think of it as sort of like the prime directive of spirituality. And so many spiritual teachers ask us this question. This question is, who are you? right? This question that we ask ourselves, who am I? Another story, this American spiritual teacher, Gangaji, and she was traveling through India on a pilgrimage with a group of colleagues, and her colleagues were teasing her because as she was going through this big city, she made an appointment for a facial, and they were teasing her about it. They were like, isn't it kind of vain to take care of your face that way? Aren't you supposed to be enlightened? Like, aren't you supposed to be beyond all that? And her response is so great. I love this response. She says, it's not my face. It's not my face. Right? That you are not who you think you are, right? We're not our faces, actually. None of us are, right? So who are you? And in some ways, I think it's good to start a little bit with the process of elimination, right? So who are you not, right? What are you not? And you can probably help me with this list a little bit too. Right here, you're not the hats you wear. You're not even the fabulous wigs. You're not your to-do list. You're not all the roles you play in the world. You're not your resume or your LinkedIn profile. You're not the sink full of dirty dishes, and you're not the dust bunnies on the floor. You are not your list of mistakes, and you're not the list of missed opportunities. You're not your shelf full of trophies and medals or a wall of degrees. You're not your list of successes and failures. You're not the contents of your wallet or your bank account. You're not your car or your bike or your shoe collection. You're not what's hiding in your junk drawer. You're not your collection of refrigerator magnets. You're not the books you've read or your bookshelves or even the list of the pile of unread books on your bedside table. And you're not a number on the scale. You're not your medical records or the pills you swallow. You're not even this little head and this Zoom box on the screen. Right? Also not you. You're not your knee pain. You're not your achy back. You're not your tight hamstrings. You're not all the steps you've walked or all the places you've traveled. And you're not even how many hours you've meditated. You're not your inner critic. You're not what other people say behind your back or even to your face. You're not your memories or your trauma or your woundedness. You're not your anger. You're not your depression. You're not your fear. You are not your thoughts or your feelings or your sensations. You are not your pain. And that's good news, right? We are so much more than the ways in which, even the ways in which we're oppressed and privileged. Although to be clear, right, these categories have real impacts on us in the world. I'm not saying they're not real, right? Just because we're not these things doesn't mean they aren't real on a relative level. But fundamentally, we are not other people's definitions of who we are. We are not society's view of who we are. We're not the value that our society and economy place on us because of our work or our lack of work. All these things point to how we're defined and categorized in the everyday world, but we are so much more than any one of these things, and we're more than all of them put together. There's some guidance from the Buddha around meeting the judgment of the world. And this is from this really wonderful book by Thich Nhat Hanh. I don't know if any of you have read it, but I really recommend it. It's called The Novice. And it, to me, it reads as this very queer story of an embodiment of Kuan Yin in ancient Vietnam. And so from the novice, these are passages from the Buddha. Those who are caught in cravings are no longer clear-minded, which causes them to inflict pain and humiliation on us. If we are able to magnanimously persevere, then our hearts and minds will be at peace. Those who are self-indulgent do not abide by moral conduct, which causes them to slander and harm us. If we are able to magnanimously persevere, then our hearts and minds will be at peace. Those who are ungrateful tell lies about us. The gardens of their minds are full of the weeds of vengeance, which causes them to treat us unfairly and unjustly. If we are able to magnanimously persevere, then our hearts and minds will be at peace. I love this term, right? Magnanimously persevere. Right? That sounds great, doesn't it? Like, but how do we do that? And to me, part of how we remember to do that is by remembering who we truly are. O nobly born, O children of the awakened ones, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, remember your true nature. Right? When we remember who we truly are, we're able to meet the world with more grace and more clarity and more spaciousness. There's a quote from Adrienne Marie Brown. She's like queer, poet, prophet, right? Writer, activist. She says, "Do you already know that your existence, who and how you are, is in and of itself a contribution to the people and place around you? Not after or because you do some particular thing, but simply the miracle of your life. And that the people around you and the places have contributions as well? Do you understand that the quality of your life and your survival are tied to how authentic and generous the connections are between you and the people and place you live with and in?" And one real invitation, right? Who, you know, this question of like, who am I? Who am I? Who are we? How do we remember the truth of who we are? And one answer is that we are not separate and isolated individuals, right? Walt Whitman, great American queer poet, Walt Whitman said, "I am large, containing multitudes." Right? And that invitation, right, to see yourself as unconditionally worthy, that you have inherent Buddha nature. You can remember that you are not separate. We're vast, incomprehensible, deeply worthy, deeply intertwined with all of reality. You are this magnificent, complicated corner of the universe that goes by your name. And you're so much more. Who are you? Right? What do you know about yourself? What do you know about this human nervous system that you move around in? Right? This body. What motivates it? What does it enjoy? What discomfort is tolerable and what's intolerable? What helps it relax and find ease? Right, this heart. Where does it find comfort and joy? What moves this heart to tears and laughter? What tenderizes it? How does this mind work? What does it obsess over? What does it like to think about and what does it avoid? What does it get frustrated about? And what does it find satisfying? To know yourself. We are complicated, multi-celled animals, right? Mammals who walk on two legs. Some of us do, some of us don't. We have very active imaginations and inner critics. We have a universe of tiny microorganisms who live inside us. And we are less than a speck of dust compared to the vastness of the universe as a whole. And this is part of the spiritual journey, right? To come to know ourselves, not as a limited single being, but as so much more. And also as nothing. To be humble in the face of the question, who am I? And what if it's okay to not know? What if we can rest into the not knowing? This beloved Indian sage, Ramana Maharshi, said, "The question, who am I, is not meant to get an answer. The question, who am I, is meant to dissolve the questioner. The question, who am I, is meant to dissolve the questioner." O nobly born, O children of the awakened ones, descendants of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, remember who you truly are. Remember your true nature. Remember that you are not separate from anyone or anything, from this vast universe outside of you and inside of you. Let yourself dissolve into the question, into who am I? Let yourself dissolve into this great mystery and rest there. Let's just take a couple breaths together. Thank you so much for listening. Really, so much gratitude to you for listening, and gratitude to my teachers and colleagues for all of their support and inspiration. May the goodness and wholesomeness of our practice here together this evening be healing for ourselves and for each other. May it support the healing of those we love. May it be healing for our communities and the communities beyond our communities. May it help support the liberation and the end of suffering for all those who are ill, isolated, incarcerated, forgotten. May the benefits of this practice extend out into all the realms. May it be a benefit in whatever way possible to all beings everywhere.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.